Welcome to Product Mastery Now, where we simplify the seven knowledge areas of product mastery. These are the product management practices that elevate your influence and help you create products that your customers will love. To see all seven areas and assess your strengths in product mastery, go to my website. That's productmasterynow.com. I'm Chad McAllister, a product management professor, practitioner, and your host. Now, we all want to create products that customers find valuable and even delightful. But accomplishing this can be complicated for some teams because they lose their focus on the real objective, or they maybe start without a clear vision for what they need to accomplish. How can using the customer experience journey help you make better products? Well, we're about to find out, and that's with Jason Friedman. Jason has started several successful businesses in several industries as well, including medical diagnostics, automotive, spirits, and digital media. He has taken his experience and knowledge and focused it to help customers gain an unfair advantage over their competitors through the art and science of designing their customer experience journey. He is the founder and CEO of CX Formula, which works with entrepreneurs and Fortune 100 companies, the good range between those, including Nike, Universal Studios, Burger King, Bank of America, and many others. As a reminder, we always create detailed written show notes for you. We also make a one-page action guide to help you put into action some of the key takeaways that Jason will be sharing. To find those resources, go to productmasterynow.com/483. This podcast is made possible by the Rapid Product Mastery Experience, the RPM Experience. This is my system to help product VPs and leaders get their product managers and everyone else contributing product to increase their performance together. Participants build a foundation for higher performance by learning those seven essential knowledge areas for product mastery. And in the process, they're building trust and collaboration. It's not like other training. It's an integrated experience where people learn that foundational information and work together to improve their working together. To find out if it works for you, go to productmasterynow.com/RPM. Jason, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Chad. Excited to be here with you.
I'm excited to be talking about customer experience. It is an important area that may need a little more attention at times, and we're going to give it some today. But first, I always like starting with context. Tell us what you mean by a customer experience or the customer experience journey.
Yeah, so I think people think that customer experience is something you do, like you create a great customer experience. And it's kind of a little bit off, right? So the way I think about customer experience is it's the effect, not the cause, right? It's what happens as a result of all the things you do. So what my definition is, it's the perception that a customer has after interacting with your product, your service, your brand, your team, all of those things, right? And so ultimately, the most important piece is how people feel. So we're dealing with emotion, right? Which is uncomfortable for some people, of course. And I think today, you know, you started to allude about it's kind of sometimes important. I think today it is more important than it ever has been. And Chad, ironically, I've been saying that for the last 30 years and it keeps getting more true. It keeps making me more and more right, which is fun. But like even today in our world, like AI has dominated everything. You know, everywhere you look, it's people can create a new product, a new service, a new program, and ideas for all these things in a matter of minutes. And so where we are going to shine, our businesses, or if you're a product developer, product inventor, product manager, it's about the experience people have with our product. And when we can actually make it amazing, it's our fingerprint. It's what differentiates us in the crowded market. So like I said, today it's more important than ever before. And I'm excited to share a little bit with you about it today.
Yeah, I think some companies are just trying to be not as bad as their competitors, right? And they're not really going that step to delight their customers, to have that extra special feeling. So this emotional aspect is important when we're designing products. We certainly want to meet that emotional need our customers have as well.
100%, yeah. And it's just often overlooked. And I think you're right. I think people... they really are trying to just kind of one-up the competition. Let me just get like a little bit past where they are. And really what I want to encourage people to do is to kind of flip the script completely. I want you to like zoom out like 30,000 feet and I want you to rotate, look at it from a completely different perspective. And that's really what I want to accomplish today.
Okay. let me give you two scenarios, and we'll see where we end up with this. But I kind of just want to think through this, you know, looking at it from a different perspective. So from startups to established companies, we have startups that, you know, sometimes the co-founders, they're developing the product for themselves, and maybe they think that they represent the customers, and over time they might find out they don't actually, right? Not looking at it from that customer perspective. The established company, sometimes as they grow, they might believe that they know better, that they're the experts in their domain, and that they know better than the customer. And I've heard this language inside of companies before, where they say, well, we'll tell the customer what the problem actually is. We'll tell the customer what they need. And I'm not so sure that it is getting as far as we need to, because I've seen the outcome of that as well. If you take us up kind of from the customer experience journey perspective, how would you maybe avoid those problems? How would we go about putting that into action to help us build a better product?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first of all, I think, let me just explain what a journey is, right? Because I gave you a customer experience, but I didn't really talk about journey. So when I think about a customer experience journey, it's all the touch points, all the interactions that a person has with your product in this case, right? With your business, with your brand, so on and so forth. And if you're creating a product for a company, part of the journey is the service and support after. It's not just the product itself, it's the usability and the support of that product also, right? It's the instructions that might come with it. It's the, you know, it's all of those things. So like as you think of the journey, it's all those steps along that journey. Now, let's go back to one of the things you said, like the idea that like the company knows better than the customer. And so like there's that famous quote from Henry Ford, right? If I asked people what they wanted, they would have told me faster horses. Right. And so and Steve Jobs has been, you know, very, you know, quoted for having a similar kind of perspective. And honestly, people, a lot of times customers, they don't have the vision for like creating a paradigm shifting solution. Right. So they those companies might be right. They might be right that our customers don't know. Right. But what they miss is the deep understanding of their customers. And so when we don't truly understand our customers and what they really need and what they really want. Right? We sometimes can create a product that maybe would be awesome, but they're not going to adopt it. They're not going to use it. They're not going to enjoy it. Right. And so I think there's both that statement could be true, but we have to be careful. Right. So there's a caveat with that statement. Right. And so I don't want to discourage, you know, anybody from kind of like looking and thinking outside the box and only relying on like what a customer might tell you, because in that case, you might miss out on coming up with some amazing innovation. Right. Mm-hmm. If you just listen to customers. But what I found is in any kind of business I've worked with, whether you're in, you know, developing products or you're running a bank, doesn't really matter, right? The thing that's interesting is like finding out how to really understand our customers and their true wants and desires. And I think it's problematic for many of us. We don't really know. And so we rely on, you know, kind of like superficial high-level information. So my background, just real quick to just dive in, just to maybe give this some context, is I started out in theater, right? I was actually a behind-the-scenes guy. I was a lighting designer and set builder and whatever. And so over the years, like from when I was like 8 years old, kind of doing it in my summer camp, all the way through high school, college, and then beyond, I was involved in theater productions where the focus is almost exclusively on the audience, right? Mm-hmm. The customer, right? And so everything is about what is the reaction to it going to be? So everything we do on stage, whether it's the lighting, where it's to evoke emotion and make it more believable, the scenery is to make you more kind of in the moment and understand what's going on, the props, the makeup, the hairstyles, the language, the whole thing, right? The interactions between the cast. And what's so interesting is in our businesses, we'll oftentimes lose sight. So when you're talking about that business owner that built it for them, right? We are not always our customer. Right. And we may have been at one point. Right. But a lot of times we kind of have the curse of knowledge. We know too much. And then we kind of lose sight of where our customers are and we're not meeting them where they are. Mm-hmm. And we might overdevelop or create something that's not, you know, aligned with their true needs. And so as you think about the theater model, one of the tricks, and this is maybe I'm jumping the shark here a little bit and I'm going to give you an action step maybe a little early and we can come back to it again. But one of the tricks is to get inside the customer's head. And so the way I like to give you like a little hack to do that is to pretend that you're actually going to play them on stage or on film, they're a character. And I want you to get into character. And so, like, if you're thinking about, like, Matthew McConaughey, Robert De Niro, like, famous actors, they use this idea of method acting. Like, they really go deep in understanding who that customer is, so much so that they, like, they know what they had for breakfast. They know what they, you know, what their, who their imaginary friend was when they were a kid. And sometimes they make this up, but they make it up in a real context. And they try and walk in their shoes. All their research is really to understand all the things that make them tick. And what happens is they're able to find ways to give voice and articulate what's going inside and on inside that character's mind that the character might not have been able to say themselves. And so as you think of developing a product, like if you can truly get into the head of your customers and crawl up there and really understand it, you can start to solve the problems and then show them a solution that really they couldn't have told you that's what they wanted, but they're like, that's it. That's right. What I need, right? And so the trick there really is getting to understand that ideal customer really deeply.
Right. Yeah, an example I often use in graduate courses that I teach is the original iPod, right? Because I have personal experience with this. You know, I bought that iPod, it came in the mail to me. I think it was like a Gen 3, the original one that didn't really change, a little dial on it and the little display. And it was like a gift, right? Opening that was very much like a gift. It was, talk about customer experience. Like, wow, Apple, I paid for this, right? But I'm feeling like Apple is sending me a present, right, to open. And if you would have asked me months before the iPod was ever made, you know, design a better MP3 player, there's no way I would have come up with that design. But I could have given you the tensions, the frustrations I had with my existing Real Sport MP3 player. And if you're a good innovator, a good designer, you appreciated my customer experience with that, you would have said, oh, there's opportunities here to make this better, right?
Exactly. And so I use this example too. I love this, right? Where this is, I love that we're so aligned in this. And what I started this saying this out is like, it's not just the actual device itself. It's the box. It's the packaging. It's mm-hmm. the instructions. It's the way that you get support after. It's that they built a marketplace that makes it even more valuable so you can buy one song at a time and so on and so forth. It wasn't just the one piece. There's an ecosystem. So the journey is beyond the product. Right? Mm-hmm. The product is a very big and important piece of it, right? But so for all of you that are designing products and thinking about that, what are all the pieces that go into that? And their journey started before you even ordered the product. It started by educating you about it because nobody knew that you could have 1,000 songs in your pocket, right? And when they even came up with the marketing of 1,000 songs in your pocket, that begs a question of like, wow, I don't even understand that. I want to know more. And so then people lean in because they want to learn more, right? And so it's all part of that customer, like really understanding them. How do I intrigue them? How do I solve those frustrations, like you said? Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite other kind of tricks, if you will, in researching this kind of stuff, and you probably do something very similar, is, you know, Amazon's a great opportunity for this. Go and look at similar kinds of products that are products that solve a similar kind of pain point. And read through the reviews of all the frustrations. It's a gold mine of information on how to make a better experience for people. And maybe even how to develop or invent a better product for people. Because once we know who that market is and we know what their frustrations are, we can put something together from there, right? Yeah. And so it's just an amazing opportunity.
That's been one of the big pluses with e-commerce as well as social media, right? It's easier for us as product people to find frustrations that individuals are having. There's a tool I use in my podcast production, and I was on the group chat for that today, and frustrations people are saying about, you know, what happened in the last few versions here, right? What's going on with this product? And it's easier to find that information to help us understand problems better.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. So one of the things that I teach people in our program, so we have a course called the Kinetic Customer Formula, and our whole business is about helping customers have better success with products, services, programs, businesses, you name it. And the biggest challenge that people have is that we as product developers, as business owners, as entrepreneurs, as, you know, employees, whatever, we make it hard for people to have success with our products and services. And we don't realize we're doing it. And so a big piece of like our strategy, one of the things that we help people do is identify the friction points, right? Identify all the gotchas, all the points of pain, all the moments where it just gets even a little bit more hard or frustrating or annoying or nuisance-y, if that's even a word, right? And just why do we reduce that or remove that from the equation? And as you start thinking about getting in character, like you design that product, now become your customer and use it. Like from opening the box, like was opening the box impossible or was that a pleasure? Was that a joy? Like you just said with the iPod, right?
Present.
That first impression is wow, right? And so we talk about time to first value. The shortest amount of time for someone to perceive a wow or some kind of moment of value, the shorter you can make that moment, that time period, the better the results will be every time. It's a law, right? And so the moment that you receive the package is a wow, all of a sudden everything's going to be better, right? You've just kind of shined a bright light and a sunshine on a cloudy day for people, and these other steps are going to be great. And if you actually thought through the other steps and they were positive, well, now you've really got an amazing journey that people are going to be excited to go on with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking about software, and both as a software product manager and then as a software user, the times that first impression, if it's software I have to install on my computer, where the installation process is just annoying, right? It doesn't represent the company well. It's not their user interface usually. It's not a holistic process, right?
Sure. And so what'll happen is, depending on the amount of true need or urgency that someone has for that, they're going to abandon the installation, right? They're just going to stop. They may refund it. They may not continue if it's a free trial. They may not move on. And right. So like that is a real opportunity for all of us.
Okay. So you've given us some really good points there, right? Using that customer journey, thinking through that to identify the tension points, the frustrations that customers have now, maybe in trying to solve the problem, like using competitors' products or maybe our product, wherever we're kind of starting, trying to create value for the customer, and trying to create that, you know, the delightful point, that time to first value as quickly as we can. I'm envisioning that I'm using a customer journey map for that as a tool that I've laid out before. What kinds of tools are you using to help understand this customer experience journey?
Yeah, so we have a proprietary tool that we use. We take what is, we kind of map out your existing journey that people are on, and we call that the customer journey. And then what we want to do is we identify the friction points, we identify moments of momentum where we can kind of increase the velocity of them moving through it or increase the joy in that. And in that process, what we do is we take it from a customer journey to what we call a kinetic pathway. We want it to be like, think of it like a water slide, right? If you're on a water slide and there's not enough water, it's really hard to go down, right? It's just a bad experience. But if there's plenty of water and it's flowing smoothly, even if you start to go uphill a little bit, you're able to go through that journey and get to the end of the slide. And so we want that for all of you, right? So that's what your journey looks like. And so the way we do it is we map out every single step from pre-learning about your product and service all the way through to post-using your product or service and look at every single moment. The key to doing this, first and foremost, is to do it from the vantage point of the customer, right? It's not the business, right? So let's say that you send them an email as the company that welcomes them because they had just subscribed to something for your software, for example. When you're mapping this, it's receives an email because you're the customer. I receive an email, right? So yeah, and it's hard. This is the hardest part of this whole exercise, right? Is staying in the customer's perspective. Because we as the company side, we're very much looking at it through our lens, right? Mm-hmm. So then the other thing that we do is we break it down into five different dimensions. So there's like, what are they doing? That's the first step, right? Like what are they doing each step all the way along the journey? But then for each of those points, we go deeper. At each one of those doing steps, we ask four more questions. The first is, what are they thinking and expecting? So they're doing this, but what were they thinking or expecting when they were doing this? Mm-hmm. The next question is, what are they using to do this step, right? So maybe it's a mobile phone, maybe it's a computer, maybe it's a pen, maybe it's a pencil, maybe it's a form, like whatever it is. What are they using? Who are they interacting with, if there is a who? Right? And these days it could be software that they're interacting with also. They're using a computer, but they're interacting with a chatbot. Okay, right. That's fine. So it's a chatbot, right? And then ultimately, the last question, and this is the most important question, how are they feeling? Mm. And again, from their perspective. And as you go through and you look at this whole journey and you map it out, you're going to see this in the emotions, right, in the feelings, you're going to see what looks to be like a crazy roller coaster ride, because that's how it is, right? It's textbook. And so as you look at that, you're going to look at thinking and expecting, you're going to look at doing, and you're going to look at feeling, and you're going to find your friction points almost immediately. Like, it's not hard, right? And so when you identify those friction points, now we say, okay, why is that hard? And what we'll notice, Chad, is it may not be that step that makes it hard. It might be that I needed to set them up two steps earlier so that it's not a friction point. Mm-hmm. It could be setting an expectation earlier on, right? Like you said, there's an expectation, like just when I see the box, an expectation is created that this is a gift. And so that sets up a few more steps, right? It really sets in motion like a belief. And so now you're thinking and expecting changes because of the way the box looks. And so that changes what's going to happen in the next step. So as you're looking at those friction points, you look, is it going to affect, was it affected by something before? Was it affected by something in this step? And you say, is this step affecting something else possibly in a negative way? Is this step creating friction for something in the future? And it's a picture's worth a thousand words, right? As you see this diagram, you get a level of clarity of what needs to change, what needs to happen to create an amazing experience.
I love that. And I love the questions that you asked, right? It's reflective of a customer journey map sort of tool for sure. And trying to identify those, what the customer is doing, what are the steps, who they're interacting with, what's those points of friction when they're, you know, their emotions change from like, oh, this is a pain, I want to give up, right? Do you have an example of this being applied that you could talk to us about, of a company who has, you know, put this into action someplace that you're able to talk about?
Yeah. Can I give you like the most basic example of a restaurant?
Sure.
So I'm going to use a restaurant. So the name of this place, we call it Tom's Place. That's not the real name. You're not going to find it if you Google it. It's to protect the innocent and the guilty, right? But it was a local neighborhood restaurant. And so they called us because they were like about to go out of business. So they had, you know, very few people come back a second time. Most of the meals, they had like 30 tables in the restaurant. Most of the meals, they had maybe three or four of the tables in use, which if you can imagine, if you've, you know, maybe you've never owned a restaurant, but that's not good, right? So it doesn't look good from the outside that the parking lot's empty all the time, like when you're pulling up to the place, right? It just doesn't, it doesn't vibe, right? And so the owner was a super nice guy, and he got to us through somebody else. And anyway, I spoke to the guy on the phone, and he just sounded like such a nice guy. So I went in and I sat down with him. And I asked him, you know, like, what is this all about? Like, why did you start your restaurant, whatever? And he had a really interesting thing. He said, have you ever watched the television show Cheers? You know, with Norm, like, at the bar, and, like, everybody knows his name. He's like, I wanted to create my own Cheers. Like, I wanted this to be, like, your dinner table away from home. But it never turned into that. And I'm like, okay. And so while I was there, there were a couple of people sitting there eating. And I said, can I go ask them a couple of questions? He's like, yeah, sure. Just don't, like, you know, annoy them or anything. I was like, okay. And so I went up and I asked, like, you know, how's the food, guys? And they were like, eh. I was like, well, how's the service? Eh. And you can't win in a restaurant with eh food and eh service, right? It's just not going to work. And so as we were talking about this, I said, listen, I was like, what was the cool thing about Cheers? Like, he's like, everybody knows your name. I'm like, okay, so if you want this to feel like that, then we need to start putting some things in place to get people to feel like they've got home, like that we know their name. And what does that look like? And we have to like up-level the level of service. We need to train the staff, because we teach them how to use the point of sale, but we don't teach them how to have interpersonal skills. And he hadn't hired people that just kind of knew it, right? And so we went through and we did some training on that and whatever. And so what we did is we transformed this by looking at every single moment. And how does this first moment set up the next moment and the next moment and the next moment, right? And so what ended up happening when they would come in, right? So imagine I'm the host at the hostess station. Someone would come in and I would say, welcome to Tom's Place. It's so great to have you here. Is this your first time dining with us? If they said yes, I would turn around. I had a little credenza behind me and I had a basket that had napkins that were wrapped around silverware. If they said, yes, it's our first time dining with us, they got a white napkin with silverware. If they said, no, we've been here before, they got a red napkin with silverware. So I'd grab the silverware, right, and I would bring them to their table and I'd place it down. And as waiters and waitresses would come by, they saw red napkins, they'd be like, welcome back, it's so great to see you again. Even if they didn't know their name. And if it was white napkins, they'd be like, welcome to Tom's. It's so great to see you. Make sure you ask your waiter for like our favorite meals. Like we have some awesome specials, right? Just kind of building the excitement and making people feel welcome. When the waiter who was working with them would come over, they'd introduce themselves and they'd ask, he'd ask or she'd ask their names. So he got to know their names, right? And he would write them down so he didn't forget their names because we wanted everyone to know your name. And he would say, you know, like, you know, welcome. I know this is your first time dining with us. Do you have any allergies at the table that I should know about? And would it be cool? Are you cool if I bring you a special appetizer on the house from the chef? And they're like, oh my God, that would be amazing, right? So he gets that and says, I'm going to come back, take a look at the menu. Any questions, I'll answer it. And then if you're open to it, I want to ask you just a couple quick questions and I'm going to tell you what I think the best things that you could possibly order here are. And they're like, oh, that'd be awesome, like whatever. And so he went through that whole thing. It was just personalized and custom tailored and interactive. And at the end, he would say, you know, thank you so much. You know, as I said, my name's Jason. It was such a pleasure to serve you. We want you to think of this as your dinner table away from home. So on any of those nights, like doing the dishes or, you know, you just want to have like hang out with some friends, come on back. Love to have you in my section. You can always ask for me or any of my colleagues. Like, we just want you to come back and have a great time. Well, boom. All of a sudden, people are like raving about it on Facebook and the moms groups and, you know, all these other kinds of things. They're bringing their friends with them to the restaurant to show them how cool it was, blah, 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 blah. It goes from like the cost of this, Chad, was $0, right? Like they had napkins coming from a linen service no matter what. We switched them from all white to half red and half white. And then ultimately it was mostly red because it was all repeat visitors, right? It's about thinking through that journey. What was that first step? We need to make a first impression of like, wow. We tell them that we want them to think of this as their dinner table away from home. We plant the seed, we start that, we know that they're thinking and expecting now, right? So we're doing all of those things as we map out that journey, and all of a sudden, they say those same words, right? Like, oh my God, Tom's, it's like your dinner table away from home. And so now, all of a sudden, people start talking about it that way. 1,000 songs in your pocket. People knew that, right? It's like, how do we start to give language to what's going on in here and help people maybe even align what's going on in here with what we want them to align with. And then we back it up with the service that we provide, right? So again, simple example, no budget. The guy didn't have any money. He was going broke. We had to come up with a $0 strategy. And the cool thing about this for any of your businesses, any of your products, any of your services, it's the thinking about it that is super powerful. The execution, creating an amazing experience or doing things that will create an amazing experience don't have to be expensive. They have to be thoughtful.
Right.
They have to be.
And if we're designing that service from the beginning, designing that product, we can take those things into account and save us the agony of discovering it later, right, that we need to fix things here. You know, key parts of that I want to bring out for everyone, you know, you interacted with real customers, right? You weren't making guesses about what customers thought. You interacted with real customers, 100%. Got information from them to act on to help you make that map to understand what their tension points and frustrations were. You planted the seed in the beginning of that customer experience. Like, you know, so you talked about the time to delivering some value to the customer, that delight moment. In the very beginning, well, this is going to be like we want this to be like your dinner away from home, right? And then you reinforce it at the very end, right? You closed out the experience by looping back to that and making it easy for that customer to refer Tom's to friends because you established what Tom's is about, right? And, so really close that loop really well. Yeah. And then simple things to just make it delightful. The different color napkins, great way to make that easy for the staff and key off that. No expensive CRM system to keep track of customers or anything, right? We just got two colors of napkins, so...
Yeah. Okay.
Love that. I'm glad you took us through that example. And it's important and if we do this in the beginning, when we're thinking about making the product, creating the new value for the customer, it's just so much easier at that point to, you know, we just need to be engaging with our customers and understanding how they are, what their experience is like through the journey of solving their problem.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay. Really good information. As listeners know, we like innovation quotes as well. I asked you to bring one and share that with us and tell us what it means to you too.
Absolutely. So I have a whole tribe of mentors who are no longer on this planet. They're authors, they're people from forever that I love their books, I read their books, I listen to their stuff. And the quote that came to mind when you asked me this question is one that I've shared with a mastermind group that I run. It's been on the cover of their notebook and whatever. And it's by a gentleman by the name of Napoleon Hill, who I'm sure you've heard of. And it's, you know, whatever the mind can believe, you know, and conceive, it can achieve, right? And so I believe that in my heart. I believe that in all that I am. And so as we think about that as inventors, as creators, like when we're like believing these things and conceiving these things, we need to do it with another data point, right? Like it's that feeling data point. And so if you add that in to the believing and conceiving, I think you will achieve it. Like I know you will achieve it. And to me, I think so often we don't challenge the status quo. We don't try and we think it's good enough. You know, good is the enemy of great, if you will. And so I think it's an opportunity for all of us to take something to the next level, and really understanding our customers on a deeper level gives us the ability to do that. So it's one of my favorite quotes. I love it.
Yeah, it's important for us to think about what obstacles are we creating for our customers now that we're not even aware of. And that quote makes me reflect on that too, that we, as long as we can believe it, if we can come up with even what we need to do, we can certainly achieve it. One of the questions I ask one of my innovation graduate courses along the way of our time together is, well, what's your organization doing that upsets customers? And what's interesting to me is how often that is a new question. And they don't necessarily think about it in the way that I want them to think about it, right? The actually creating tensions and frictions for them.
Yeah.
And because I think a lot of us just don't ask that question very often.
Yeah. I was shocked. Like that was a real wow. Like, and I know that too, right? I see it in my customers, my clients all the time. They're not asking that question and they're not even shopping their own experience. Like they don't have secret shoppers or they don't come in some way to see it. You know, we've all seen, you know, the TV shows, right? Where it's like Undercover Boss and things like that, where they're shocked at what they find because they haven't been on the inside of their company and seen what it looks like as an employee. And they'd be even more shocked if they looked at what it really was like as a customer, right? Like, and I think it's an opportunity. And the people that are listening, if they do it, they're going to blow away their competition because not everyone's doing it, right? Very few people, to your point, are doing it. So huge opportunity out there.
I do believe. Huge opportunity.
Yeah, when we use the tagline, you know, experience is your own experience, your unfair advantage. And I think when you start thinking about it, it becomes your unfair advantage. We say it's like your thumbprint, your fingerprint. Right? Everyone's fingerprint is unique, right? No two people have the same one. We think that is the experience of your product, your service, your business, right? Nobody can replicate that. They can have a very similar product. They can have a very similar service. But the way that your brand and all those interactions and all that makes somebody feel, they can't duplicate. That's special. And that breeds loyalty, you know?
Right. I want to go on a quick tangent. We were wrapping up here, but you brought up something. I think as I was doing some research for this, our discussion now, I think I saw you were recently on a podcast and I don't remember the guy's name. He wears a yellow suit all the time and he's with the Savannah's. The baseball. This is a local, you know, whatever, I don't know what level of that, regional baseball team. Can you just, because you were talking about setting yourself apart in service, can you just describe that briefly as an example, this baseball team?
Jesse's amazing. So, you know, if you've ever seen the movie The Greatest Showman, like he is that guy. He is P.T. Barnum in modern day. And he reinvented what baseball is. And it's taking off. Like that was several years ago when we did that. And where he's taken the sport beyond just the Savannah Bananas is outrageous. He has a fans first mentality. Right? Everything there is fans first. Like, think about that. That is putting your customer in the spotlight. That is, they are first. And everything that they do is around that. And so, like, one of the big things that he and I talked about was this idea that I shared with him from theater is the transitions, right? We lose people in transitions all the time. And in theater, it's like from scene to scene, and the scene changes. We rehearse those transitions a lot of times more than we rehearse the actual scenes themselves. The scenes, it's the actor's script, they memorize their lines, they do some stuff, but going in and out so that we don't create collisions, so we don't take people out of the moment. Like, we don't do that. And like with products, like you go from like using it one way to another, there's a transition. You go from businesses, from, you know, purchasing to fulfillment to whatever. There's all these transitions and we lose people in those. And Jesse has mastered that, right? And so he starts with that fans first lens, right? And then he goes on to really map every moment, every touch point of their experience has been thought out. And when they find one that's not working, They optimize it. They fix it. So it's amazing. But they stand out, and they are becoming such a force in baseball because that there has been no innovation in that sport and how it's like played, you know, for the television and for fans, whatever, in so long. You know, they're literally building on, I believe right now, they're building on to their stadium because they just don't have any more room and they want to have more room.
Yeah, they're sold out all the time in advance.
Yeah, what other stadiums are doing anything they can to fill seats, and he's trying to build a bigger stadium. So it is, he does everything that I talk about and everything I teach, and it's masterful, and it works. Like, he's a great case study of, like, how to do it and how to think about it, 100%. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks for sharing that with us a little bit as well. Thought it was a good example. Yeah, sure. Okay. You shared some great actions for us that we can take to helping us think about the customer experience more. One of the key takeaways for me, I'm going to remember that water slide analogy you shared, because there's going to be some points of friction that we can't eliminate, but we can do some things maybe to make it easier for them to push through, right? And so I really like that. How can people find out about other resources you have, about the work that you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely check us out on our website, cxformula.com. But Chad, if it's cool, I'd love to give your listeners a gift. And so I'm going to be a little cagey with this. I want to intrigue you and kind of tease you into coming to download it. So I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is, but I am going to tell you it's a PDF. It's free, and it'll take you no more than 10 minutes to go through, probably a little less. And it's a strategy and a tactic kind of all rolled into one. What it's going to do, it's going to change the way you think about some things. And it's going to give you some actionable, cost-effective ideas of how you could implement that kind of stuff.
Fantastic.
So all I ask is, if you download it, please open it up, right? And if you open it up and you read it, whether you like it, you hate it, you think it's awesome or not, shoot me an email. My email address is in there. Let me know what you think, because we want to get better and we want to help more people. That's why we do this. So the URL, it's gift.cxformula.com/RPN.
RPM?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we have for rapid product mastery. That will work well. Perfect.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it.
So just your gift.yourwebsite/RPM.
You got it. Gift.cxformula.com/RPM.
And we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me on the show, man. This was a lot of fun to chat with you. And I'm excited about what we're doing in the world today, what all of us have the opportunity to do. There's endless opportunity to crush it out there. We just got to be doing it with the mind of the customer, the perspective of the customer in mind.
Absolutely. Jason, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Chad.
And listeners, as a reminder, you'll find the written show notes of everything we discussed, including that one-page action guide, and the link to that very valuable download that Jason's making available for us at productmasterynow.com/483. As always, keep innovating.
Thank you for listening to Product Mastery Now, where product leaders and managers gain product mastery through practical knowledge, influence, and confidence. By listening, you are becoming a product master, creating products customers love. Find additional resources at productmasterynow.com. Keep innovating.